Turn with me, please, to the Gospel record by John and chapter number 3. John chapter 3. And I'll take the well-known reading. From verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Chapter 5, please. And verse number 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Chapter 11. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Chapter 16. Verse number 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and believed that I came out from God. Chapter 20. Verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. Chapter 21. Verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Verse 15. When they had dined, Jesus saith up to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The answer, thou knowest that I love thee. Again, verse 16, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Verse 17, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Final reading, please, in 2 Timothy, in chapter number 4. Verse number 10, but Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The thought on my heart this afternoon is to continue with this theme of love. In the readings that we've taken together, we have looked at two words for love in the New Testament. And it is amazing how the meeting has taken its course this afternoon. For this is what I felt before the Lord before we came out of the home today to look at together. We've read two words upon the page of Scripture concerning that, or translated in English, love, lovest, love, loveth. Those two words have been already mentioned this afternoon by our brother Reg and brother Chris. And one of them is agapeo, and the other one is phileo. We understand those two words simply like this. Agapeo is a love which I will term this afternoon of no reason, no response. It's the word that we read together in John chapter 3 and verse 16. What was the reason that God loved the world? Was it something that he looked down upon the world, and something of the world drew out his affection, drew out his love? We have to consider together this afternoon how Reg brought to us from Romans that there was nothing in me, nothing whatsoever by my nature, that I could say that God looked upon me and because of something about me, because of something I've done, he chose to love me, to set his love upon me. He loved me with a divine love, and he loved you with a divine love. We've read that word together a number of times, but I want to illustrate it clearly from the scriptures. So let's just turn to the first mention in every record of the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 5, we find it there in verse number 43 and 44. Turn with me so we can understand this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, ye have heard it, that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, here it is, agapeo your enemies. Every time we read this word this afternoon, I want to speak about it in the way that I said before. Love your enemies. What's the reason? They're your enemies. Why would you love your enemy? What's the reason to love your... God just says, love your enemies. He says, do good. Bless them that curse you, and do good. He then says in verse 46, the same word, if you agapeo them that agapeo you, what reward do you have? If you love those that love you, where's the reward in that? That's an easy thing to do, isn't it? To love someone because they love you. But it's a hard thing to do, to love your enemy. And God says, just set your love, just because I said so, because that's like me, set your love even upon your enemies. Bless them. Do good to them. That's a standard, isn't it? A standard of love. Come across to the record by Mark. And chapter number 10. And this is the first mention of agapeo in the record by Mark. And verse number 21. Then Jesus beheld him, loved him for no reason. No response. He was a man that came before the Lord Jesus Christ. There were things that this man did which are commendable. But I don't want to concentrate so much on that this afternoon, but just to see a man that's come before the Saviour. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord speaks to him, he responds to him, and he has a choice to make. It's the Lord Jesus or his possessions. And he took his possessions over the Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and agapeoed him. He just loved him. He was a man that looked at his earthly possessions, thought of his material things, weighed them up against the Son of God who was going to go to Calvary, and valued them greater. Is that someone worthy of love? The love of the Son of God? Is that a response to this man's act? He just loved him. And beholding him, he agapeoed him. He loved him. Come across to the record by Luke. And we see it there in verse 6 again. It's the parallel passage to what we've been reading in Matthew. Luke, chapter number 6, and verse number 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's a standard, isn't it, brothers and sisters? This is the standard of divine love. This is the standard of God that we've been hearing about from the book of Romans, and the love of Christ displayed so perfectly in his life here below. He would look down from the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is the instruction from the Son of God himself. Love, agapeo, sincerely. This is not a love because someone's doing you a favor, because someone's worthy of it, because they scratch your back and you scratch theirs, because they're nice to you. This is an enemy. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Agapeo, your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you, those who would seek your demise, those who would seek you harm, those who just want to rip you off, those who just want to do you something bad. He says, love them. Love them. Agape in the scriptures is closely linked to agapeo. They come next to each other in the dictionary, as you know, 25 and 26. Agape is this same love. Just love. The love of no reason response. Agapeo, as far as I can see in the New Testament, is this love in action. And so he says here, this is not a stagnant love. You just say, oh well, I've got an enemy living next door. You know, he does this to me and does that to me, and he's a really annoying fellow. And you know, if you could know my brother or my sister or my son or my daughter or my uncle or my aunt or this or that, I tell you what, they drive me crazy. But I love them. Because I want you to know that. And you don't really love them at all. It's not love in action. He says, agapeo, love in action, your enemies, your enemies. Come with me. No, you know, we've read it already. The first mention of that word in John For God so agapeo the world, He so loved the world. Now, I want to take you to the other love before we look at the verses that we looked at in John, philia, the love of reason, the love of response. It's used 25 times in 21 verses in the New Testament. Agapeo is used 142 times, as far as I can count. Come back with me to Matthew and chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now you'll see here now that this is a love of response. A love of response. And I want us to learn lessons from these readings that we've taken. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites do, for they filio to pray standing in the synagogues. Why do they love to pray? Sorry, standing in the streets it is, isn't it? No, standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that's right. Why do they love that? I am told that the history books would tell me that they delayed leaving the home, going up for the hour of prayer, for the time that prayer was going to be made. And these hypocrites, these scribes, these Pharisees, they delayed leaving home, and they would just be a bit late, and they would get to the corner of the street, and it would be the hour of the prayer. Oh, we've got to stop. Whoops-a-daisy. I find myself here in public. Well, I better just pray. Oh, what a good... Everyone can see me. How pious. How I look. Oh, they filia. Why do they filia? Because there's a response. I noticed that in Matthew, Mark and Luke, and we'll see this clearly, that filio is used always in a negative context of a first mention. They love to pray standing on the street corners. Why? Because they get recognized. Can I ask myself this afternoon, why do I take part amongst the saints of God? Is it so that I can get a pat on the back at the door? Or some recognition, or my name chalked up on a blackboard? Would I be willing to be a servant and serve with a genuine love? Hypocrites. They do it because there's a response from men. And that response from men causes the pride to swell. It's a good thing to encourage one another. But why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? Is it because I get a response and everyone knows? Why was John recognized as the disciple whom Jesus loved? Was it because he just faked it all the way through? And he was really pleased with this title that he got, that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he kind of lauded it over the others, because I've got this title. Far from it. The reason he got that title was because he was genuine and sincere in his love. Turn with me to Mark in chapter 14. And here we see filio in a negative context again in its first mention. This is the first time I noticed that Mark is the gospel where love is least mentioned. And I would just surmise, as it's the gospel of the servant, that's love in action. When do you need to least talk about love? When it's being put into action. You don't have to say, when someone's doing something out of a spirit of love, you hardly need to say anything, do you? You just see what they're doing. Oh, the Lord Jesus, the record is of what he did, who he did it to, how he did it. And you hardly need to let the people know it was out of love, do you? But he says in chapter 14, this is the first mention of Filio in Mark's record. Verse 44. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall filio, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. I want you to notice that safely too. It's really a subject for another time. But I don't believe that Judas really meant for the Lord to die. And I feel that that comes out when you come to Matthew chapter 27. It says, when Judas saw that he was condemned to death, he repented himself and cast down the pieces of went and hanged himself. I believe it got too far for Judas. Why? He was feigning. He was faking. And the love of money was just so great for him. And then he realized it got too late and he couldn't turn back the clock. It was the end. Here was a man that went out to meet the Lord Jesus, and he just wanted him to be led away safely. Just lead him away safely. I'll give you the token. You give me the silver, I'll give you the token. What was the token? It's the same as in Luke chapter 15. The word here is filio. Him who I filio. Now you'll understand it like this. When he comes to the next verse, he says, Master, Master, going straightly to him, he said, Master, Master, and he kissed him. That word kissed him is the same word as Luke 15, when the father fell on the son's neck and covered him with kisses. Oh, here's Judas. He's going to mark him out. It's not just a peck on the cheek, brothers and sisters. He lavishly kissed him. And it was fake. Why did he do it? The reason he did it was because he was going to get money. It was the love of response. He filioed him because there was something he got out of it. And here he comes to the Lord in the Middle East. Anyone who's been in the Middle East and various other countries around the world, the men and the women embrace one another with a kiss. And I remember as a 20-year-old going to Israel, and I lived there for a year. But when I first got into Israel, I got off the bus and I remember seeing two boys walking down the street, teenage boys, and they were holding hands. I thought, that's a bit funny. I'd just come from central London. You didn't do that kind of thing in central London. And next thing, you go to someone's house and the men are embracing one another and kissing one another. Well, if you all kiss one another in the Middle East, how do you mark out someone by a kiss? That's normal. He said, the one who I lavishly kiss. That's the one. Take him. Lead him up. And here comes Judas with all the deceit in his heart. And he laid upon the Lord Jesus lavish kisses. He kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. And the deceit was in his heart, for all he wanted was the money. Why do I do what I do? Is it so I can get some material gain? We saw the people in Matthew, they did it because they got some gain of some status. Here's someone doing something for material gain. Come with me to Luke's record in chapter 20. Again, in a negative context, we find the first mention of filio in this book. Chapter 20 and verse number 45, 46. Beware of the scribes, which desire to love, to walk in long robes, and filio the greetings in the marketplace, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses. Here is a people. Why did they do what they do? They wanted a prominent place. They didn't do it out of sincerity. They didn't love with sincerity. They loved here because of personal place. Personal place. Judas, personal material gains. Hear these people, personal place. They love the greetings in the marketplace. And the it's a nice thing to greet one another, isn't it? It's a nice thing to be kindly, affectionate to one another. That's a godly thing. We've heard that this afternoon. You know, there's a temptation within me to love first place. There's a temptation within me to love the chief place. There's something that lies within me that lurks beneath the surface that just loves people to remember me, to talk about me, to put me at the top. Me, 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 me. And these people, they loved me. And he said, don't be like this grass. Don't love me. Don't love first place. The first record we have made in John is in chapter 5 where we read, and it's now in a different context. Let's read what it says. Verse number 20. For the Father filios the Son. What a word. Why did the Father love the Son? If you were to contrast this with chapter 17 of this book and verse number 26, you would see in verse number 26 of chapter 17 when the Son is praying to the Father that he speaks about the Father agapeoing him. Here it's the Father filioing him. By the way, some have said that filio is a lesser love and agapeo is a greater love. I wouldn't accept that from Scripture, because the Father never loved the Son with a lesser love. Here, he filioed the Son. He loved because it was a response. What was the response? We got the word for at the beginning of the verse, didn't we? So let's turn back to the verse before. The Son of himself can do nothing. He walked in absolute step with the Father. He was obedient. He was perfect in his ways. And the Father filioed the Son. Oh, the joy of heaven as the Father looked upon his beloved Son. Now as we look at this in this book for the few minutes that remain, here we see the Father filioing the Son. I noticed that's why I said that I wouldn't agree with a filio being a lesser love, because when we come to the end of the book, we see that Peter, he's having a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord says, Peter, do you agapeo me? And he says, Lord, I filio you. And sometimes there's a temptation there to say, well, he says to Peter, you love me with this standard love. And Peter says, no, I'm just going to tell you I love you with this standard love. Well, if this standard love is lower than this, it's used of the Godhead 6 times in the New Testament. Finishing in Revelation chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus says of that church of Laodicea in verse number 19, as many as I filio, I chasten and rebuke. Be zealous and repent. 5 times else in this book it is used in connection with the Godhead. In chapter 11 and verse 3, he says there that he filioed, the Lord Jesus filioed Lazarus. He loved him with a heart throb of affection. Why? It tells us later in that chapter why. It says because he was his friend. Oh, what it would have been to be a friend of the Lord Jesus. And he moved in a way. You know how friends move, don't you? They just enjoy one another's company. And here's Lazarus. And he was a friend of the Lord Jesus. But you know, we might think to ourselves, well, hang on a minute, did the Lord just love him because of the love of response? Because, you know, because Lazarus was his friend. And some may say, well, that's not fair. He loved him because of a love of response. That's why I read verse 5 in the same chapter, chapter 11. Come with me. Because in chapter 5, in verse 5 of chapter 11, he says now this, now Jesus, now not Philia, Jesus, Agapeo, Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus is put at the end of the list. Why? Because it's not a love, Lazarus, that you've done something for me and I'm going to love you because of that. That's verse 3. He loved them. Lord, he whom now Philio is sick. He was the friend of the Lord Jesus. But he says in verse 5, I want you to remember this, Lazarus. I just loved you because I decided to love you. And I love Martha the same. And I love Mary the same. Amazing that Martha is put at the beginning of that list, and that shows to us that the love of God towards any person has no preference. It's not, he loved me more than you, because, no. He just set his love upon us. And he loved Martha, and he loved Mary the same, and he loved Lazarus the same. Come with me to chapter number 16, where we read. Verse 36 of chapter 11 said again, behold, the Jews said, behold how he filioed him, how he loved him. He wept at the tomb, didn't he? That sign of absolute friendship, yet sorrow because of sin. Chapter 16. Now it says, not only the son loving with that filio love, but in verse number 27, he says, for the father filios you. Why? Because you love me. It's the love of response. There's a because there. Why does the heart of the Father throb in love towards you this afternoon, dear brother and sister, and towards me? It's because we love His Son. What a tremendous truth. God loved us just because He loved us. He agapeoed us just because He decided to. But you know, to His own children who trusted in His well-beloved Son and the work at Calvary, He says, I filio them. There's something that they've done that causes me to respond and love them. They trusted my Son. And the Father loveth you because ye have loved me and believed that I came out from God. Come with me to chapter number 20. Chapter 20, we see here again a tremendous contrast with chapter 21. We see this word used again. In chapter 20 and verse number 2, here's Mary. She's come running. She comes to Simon, Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus filioed. It's that word again. Here's the disciple whom Jesus... Let's just stop here a moment. Chris has brought our attention to this afternoon. Why did the Lord Jesus love John? He tells us here he loves him with a love of response. The disciple whom Jesus filioed. I don't think it would be hard to love John, do you? Just be in John. Just spend a little time in John's company. What a brother to be in the company of. Here was a man who knew what it was to love. You meet someone and they invite you into their home and they provide for you, and it just, the love just seems to spill over the edges, and they just couldn't do more for you. And they do this, and you're on the street or wherever you are, and you're in their company for a few moments, and they just ooze love. That's a person that's worth being around. And the Lord Jesus says, you know what? John is a person like that. And he says, I filio John. I love John. But you know, we stop there for a moment. Hang on a minute. Did the Lord Jesus just love John because it was a love of response? Come with me to chapter 21. And we have exactly the same statement in verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus agapeo said to Peter. It's the same title, but a different word. So he says here, just in case John, that you may think, or John wouldn't think this, but maybe I would think this. Just in case, Clive, you think that John was loved by the Lord Jesus with a love of response just because he was that type of, he says, John, don't you forget this. I loved you just because I loved you. Clive, don't you forget, let anyone this afternoon remember this. He loves us because we love his son and because we trusted the Christ. But let us not forget this. If it wasn't that he set his love upon us, where would we be? And he says, John, you're the disciple whom Jesus agapeo. He just loved you, John, because he desired to love you. So we come to that last little section in the 5 minutes that remain. When Jesus had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, agapeo thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I filio thee. So here, a question goes forward to Simon and Peter. And he says to him, Simon, this of course has connections with the denial of Peter, Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And three times over he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And three times over he's going to be spoken to here. But I noticed the Lord Jesus sets the example. He fed him first. I'll never forget this in my own experience. I had to be corrected once or twice. But I remember one time, and a brother invited me to his house, and he fed me a tremendous meal. I enjoyed every bit of it. We sat in the chair after the meal and we were just talking, and then he brought the correction to me. I tell you, that's a brother. That's an example. I was ready for that correction. I trust I took heed of it. But here was a brother following the very steps of the Lord Jesus in love. So easy, isn't it? Harsh word. Sometimes, and I'll make a confession here, sometimes I don't particularly like just speaking like this. Because sometimes you can give folk the impression that you just kind of hard, fast. It's just so wonderful when you can just come into one another's company, isn't it? And experience genuine love. Here is the Lord Jesus, and he's drawing Peter out. Like the Apostle Paul did in the book of Philippians, he didn't correct those sisters till the very last chapter. He'd given them every example and set before them the Lord Jesus who came down from heaven. And then he brings them the correction. Here is the Lord Jesus drawing out Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these disciples? Or do you agapeo me, Peter? Do you just love me because you love me? Peter says, when I consider everything, I love you because I'm responding to you. When I consider the cross, when I consider that I forsook you, when I consider that I denied you, when I consider that I wasn't there when I should have been, and you still love me, and you still care for me, and you still feed me, he says, I love you. I'm responding to that love. I filio you. Do you love me the second time, Peter? Do you agapeo me? He says, I filio you. The third time he says, Peter, do you filio me? Do you love me now because you respond to me? He says, grieve. It just really means, this is not annoyed. This is that sigh. Lord, when I consider who I am, when I consider who thou art, when I consider what I've done, when I consider what you've done, Lord, I'm just going to filio you. I'm just going to respond to you and love you because you first loved me.